As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
Well, good morning. Christ is risen. Amen. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to be with you this morning in worship. I'm Nick Schimmer, one of the pastors here, and we pray that this time of worship is a blessing to you. This morning, we are going to continue on with our Renew series, and Brother Hammett is going to talk about service and what it means to participate in service in the life of the church. Just a few announcements before we begin. First of all, today at 10 o'clock here in the sanctuary, so immediately after the service, we will do acolyte training. And that acolyte training will be for all of our rising third graders. So any kids that are in second grade right now can participate in that and learn how to acolyte. That is very, very critical because next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday. And so we pray that you're with us here in the sanctuary as seven of our young members of Asbury will stand before you and proclaim their faith as their own. The promise I made to them, as long as they get through confirmation, I will let them retire from acolyting. And so that was good motivation. So we need replacements. So our incoming third graders, make sure you're here for that training today. We are currently in the stage of taking volunteers for Vacation Bible School. That's going to be June 27th through the 30th. And so if you're wanting to help with that and be part of that, you can either speak to Nicole or you can scan the QR code as well. And then the last bit of news, which is good news, we have added a new member to our Asbury community. On this past Thursday, Charles Robert Hall was born. Amen. And if you are on Facebook and you've seen the pictures from Marcy and Brian and Nick, he is a beautiful baby boy. And so we are so excited. He is doing well. His parents, Chelsea and Nick, are doing well. They're all back home. And so what a blessing he is to them and what a blessing he is to our church. Amen. And with that, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. As we together participate in the call to worship. We are the body of Christ.
We shall We are the people of God.
We all have ways to serve.
We are a community of faith.
We are one in generous sacrifice and love.
Amen. Please remain standing and join us in our hymn of praise, O Church of God United. It's found on page 547 of your hymnal. Please join me in the invocation found in your bulletin. Gracious and loving God, bless us with your presence as we worship this day. Bless us with your love as we grow in love and mature faith. Bless us with your guidance as we give ourselves to you, to your church, and to your work in the world. Amen. Please be seated.
Oh. Amen. Let's go together to God in prayer. Gracious, loving God, this morning we gather to give you thanks. We gather to praise you. We gather to glorify your name. We all come in this space together in different places, in different conditions, with our different hurts and worries and concerns. But we come together and find ourselves in this place today, seeking to be transformed and seeking to be made whole by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, God, we give you thanks that we are able to do that. We are able to come together with you, the one who creates us, the one who sustains us, the one who loves us completely. God, this morning our hearts are heavy. Our minds are with those who are hurting, with those who are in need of healing, in need of your grace, in need of your love, in need of your presence. We pray this morning for all of those who are impacted by the violence around our country and around the world. God, we know the world is broken. We know the world is sinful. We know that there is no shortage of evil in it. But we know that through your Son, Jesus Christ, through faith, we are reconciled, we are made whole. So may your love be poured out onto those who need it the most. God, this morning we pray for those in our community who are in need of your love, in need of your care, in need of your healing. We pray this morning for Clifford Smith. We pray for June Glazier. We pray for Fred Williams and for Barbara Clark. Pray for Megan Arnold and Joyce Dennis. We pray for Doug Chenault. We pray for Lanny Langley. And we pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know that you're at work in their lives in a mighty way, and so we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the gift of new life. We thank you this morning for Charles Robert Hall and for the blessing that he is to the Hall family and the blessing he will be to our church at Asbury. May we all walk with him in his faith journey. Lift him up, teach him, and love him. God, this morning we give you thanks above all else for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the heavy price he paid on the cross, a price we could not pay ourselves. We thank you for the victory over death at the resurrection, that we were made whole. God, we thank you for his earthly ministry, for all that he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. And God, we thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for the ability to come to you with our burdens and our grief, with our joys and our thankfulness. And we thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that by teaching us the Lord's Prayer, which we will now say together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we move into our time of offertory, I pray this morning that we are challenged to think about our service in this Christian life and the ways in which we are called to love each other and to love our neighbor. We do that through coming together as a community and serving, whether it be at Stone Soup, Ozark Mission Project. We come together to teach our children all about Jesus Christ and his love for them. We also do that through the giving of our gifts and our offerings, trusting that as we lean into our faith, as we lean into God, that he is going to take that and do a mighty work in it. There are multiple ways to give here at Asbury. As we pass the offering plates, you can also give online. You can text to give. You can mail a check to the church. All those are available online for those of you that are joining us online, and they're also in your bulletin. With that, I ask that we pray over this time of offering. Gracious, loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the ability to come together and to participate in your kingdom. We know that there is a heavy call on our lives to bring those that need to hear it, the gospel message. And so we ask this morning, God, that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we may be convicted in a new way to bring that message of hope to all of those who need it. Whether it be those within our Asbury community or those beyond its walls, we are called to be a light on the hill here at Asbury. And so, God, help us to see that in its fullness. It's in your Son's beautiful name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite Nicole Rose up, who's our Director of Children and Young Families, as well as all the children, to receive a special message.
Good morning. How are y'all? We got the three amigos this morning. I like it. Have you ever been called a silly goose before? Yes, I'm sure. Ira, silly goose? Oh, okay. Well, same thing. Silly goose, you know. Oh, you are? Okay. Well, did you know that geese are actually not that silly? I did not know that. I just learned this week some things about geese that I wanted to share with you, because when I was learning about it, it reminded me about our church family, believe it or not. Isn't that kind of weird? Well, one thing that geese do is they fly in a V formation. Have you seen that before? Like geese flying and they make a V in the sky. Well, the reason that they do that is because it helps them not have to fly so hard. And the goose at the point, that goose has to fly the hardest, and they have to work the hardest, and they take turns. So the goose that's leading the V, when they get tired, they go in a different spot, and another goose takes the lead. And that kind of reminds me of our church family, because when we serve and we lead in different roles in the church, we have to take turns, right? We want to make sure that the person who's leading all the time doesn't get too tired, so we have to take turns. You see how that kind of works? Yeah. Well, something else that geese do is they honk. Have you heard that before? Yeah. Well, when they're honking, they're actually encouraging one another to keep going. Do we do that at Asbury at our church? Yeah, we encourage each other to keep going. And then the other thing that I thought was so cool is that when geese are flying and one gets tired or sick, they land, and two other geese always land with them. Why do you think the two other geese come and land with the one that's sick? What do you think? To protect it, make sure it's okay. Yeah. And they wait with the geese that was hurt or sick until it gets better and it can start flying again. Do we do that as a church family? Do we take care of our church members that are sick or maybe need a little extra help? Yeah, that's right. So this morning, I want you to think, Asbury does a great job of all of these things, but I want you to think, what could you do a little bit extra? What could we do a little bit more to serve our church family? Are you going to think about that for me this morning? Yeah. All right, you want to pray? Okay, let's pray together. Dear God, help us to use the gifts that you have given us to serve and encourage others. We love you. Amen. All right.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from Paul's letter to the Roman church. We'll be in chapter 12, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. Love each other like the members of your family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And welcome to Asbury, and to say welcome to those of you who are joining us online. And I'll say to Nancy Fox, who made a comment, that we're praying God's blessings upon you as well. Would everybody say amen to that? Amen. I do want to make you aware that over the next few weeks, we will have some discussions around the split that's going on in the United Methodist Church. And so watch your email over the next few days for the announcement of those times. It looks like we're going to offer a couple of like noon on Sunday options as well as one on Wednesday evening. And so just be prepared for that to be that announcement to be made. So next Sunday, our confirmands will be here, and they have been preparing over the last almost 9 months, I think, to confirm the vows that were made on their behalf in their baptism or to make those vows on their own. And all of us will have a chance to renew them. And so over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the vows that we make when we become a part of a United Methodist congregation. And today we're going to talk about what it means to support Asbury United Methodist Church with our service. Let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for being with us today in so many different ways. And we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Has anybody here ever seen The Wizard of Oz? Raise your hand if you've ever seen The Wizard of Oz. All right, then I want to invite you to help me with the introduction to my sermon today. Is that okay? Would y'all do that? So I'm going to read a little bit, and I want you to fill in the blanks because I have a really terrible memory. And so The Wizard of Oz is about a little girl named and her little dog, and she gets taken away via to the merry old land of, and there she meets a, okay, I heard a bunch of different answers there, and you're right. The first one she meets is a scarecrow who wishes that he only had a, and then she meets a tin woodman, and if you read the books, his name was Nick Chopper. Yeah, I did read the book. So anyway, that was a long time ago. But Nick Chopper meets the Tin Woodman who wishes that he only had a heart, and then she meets a cowardly lion, and he wishes that he only had some courage, or denoive, I think he says. Cowardly Lion is my favorite character because I played him when I was an eighth grader in a junior high play. So anyway, very close to my heart. So anyway, they follow the yellow brick road off to see the, in the hope that he will grant them some gifts. Amen? So when they finally stand before the wizard, he tells them that he will bestow these gifts upon them on one condition. They have to perform one small task. Bring me, he says, the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West. They realize that this means that they will have to kill the witch. So they take off to the witch's castle, but before they get there, the Wicked Witch of the West, who's been watching all along, sends an army of flying monkeys, the most terrifying part of that whole movie. Amen? I mean, who dreamed that up? But anyway, sends an army of flying monkeys to capture Dorothy, leaving the others in the haunted forest. So remember this scene. There they are, Toto, the Scarecrow, the Tin Woodman, the Cowardly Lion, overlooking the haunted, Wicked Witch's castle. And her army of soldiers, they were called Winkies in the book, by the way, her army of soldiers are marching along. Oh, we, oh, the, oh, you remember that? All right, so this is the scene that I want you to think about. Eventually, they disguise themselves as some of the guards, and that way they infiltrate the castle. So throughout that whole next period between their infiltration and the destruction of the witch, if you pay very close attention, the Scarecrow, who wishes he only had a brain, keeps having ideas and making plans. The Tin Woodman has compassion, and because he has an axe, he's able to chop down the prison door holding Dorothy within. And at a key moment, the Scarecrow grabs his arm and chops a rope on a chandelier that creates a diversion so that they can escape. The so-called Cowardly Lion leads them all in spite of his fear. Dorothy saves the Scarecrow from burning alive by throwing a bucket of water toward him to save him. And that act of love
is what destroys the witch in the end. And don't leave out little Toto, because he is the one that leads them all to Dorothy. Now, each one of those characters has a particular gift or tool. And if any of them had been missing in that scene, the mission could not have been accomplished. All of them were needed. So Paul says that the church is like that too. None of us is dispensable. Each and every one of us has a part to play to accomplish God's mission in the world. Now, the problem is that sometimes we think that the church would be just fine without us. I mean, surely others are better, more talented, more gifted than I am, but that isn't true. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is very clear. He says, a foot can't say it's not part of a body because it's not a hand. And an ear can't say it's not part of the body because it's not an eye. You see, in the church, every person is a vital organ. God created you to be a part of God's family. And so you, yes you, have something important to contribute. Now, other times we think that the church would be better off without this person or this or that group. And you know as well as I do that there is a whole lot of that mess going on in the United Methodist Church right now. But that isn't true either. Paul says the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, or the head say to the feet, I don't need you. I mean, how would the head get around without the feet? It'd just be rolling around on the ground. You ever seen a head just rolling around on the ground by itself? Of course not. Christ's body has some parts that are stronger and some that are weaker. Paul says the strong ones are there to help support the weak. In the church, we're here to help each other. Those of us who are strong in faith, hope, and love support and encourage those who are weak. Paul says it this way, God has put the body together so the parts might have mutual concern for one another. We use our spiritual gifts to look out for one another. And then listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 4. He says, God made different kinds of people with different kinds of gifts. I want you to think about that for a moment. Here we are, look around the room at each other. God could have made all of us identical, amen? We could have been all the same size and shape and gender. We could have had the same interests and inclinations and hobbies. We could have had the same physical abilities. But God didn't do that. Why not? Well, Paul says that God's purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ until all of us reach the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son. Then Paul continues, God's goal is for all of us to become mature adults, to be fully grown, measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ. Are you there yet? I remember, you know, Mom and Dad had a little ruler that they would measure, a yardstick in the beginning when I was a little kid, and they'd mark on the parsonage. We had to paint that door when we moved from the parsonage, but anyway, they would tell how high we were, how tall we were every year. Paul says that the true measure of our maturity is the standard of Jesus Christ. It's not something we reach until we're made perfect in heaven, but we're always going there. And so as iron sharpens iron, Christians are to sharpen one another. We encourage one another. We support one another. We grow God's kingdom together, and we push each other to reach above and beyond what we believe we can do on our own. And it takes each and every one of us to be Christ's body in the world. Our differences make us stronger when we work together. One of my very early memories of church, it's not my first memory, but it's very early, was out here, it was in Southwest Little Rock. And I've told you before about that Dad was the pastor at Hunter Memorial United Methodist Church, which used to be right across from MacArthur Park. In the early 70s, before Asbury did this, they decided to move out west, and so they moved to Southwest Little Rock, where that church is today. And I remember a day I had to be 3 years old, and my dad was really nervous because somebody called the district superintendent and somebody called the bishop were going to be there. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't really care. I was 3 years old. But I remember that congregation gathered out on a barren piece of land, and somebody had brought an old-fashioned plow, like an old-fashioned like mule plow, and they had tied a big, long, 100-foot rope to the end of that plow. And we stood out there in that barren field, and at a point in the service, somebody said, "All right, everybody reach up and grab that rope." And I, with my little three-year-old arms, reached up and grabbed that rope. And all of us pulled to break ground for that church. All of us did our part. Everything that we do is to pull together, to work together. And we're stronger when we work together. So Paul reminds us that each one of us has different gifts. Some of us can teach. Some of us are gifted for that. Some have a gift for caring for people who are sick or down. Some have the gift of saying just the right thing at just the right time. Some of us have a way of seeing beneath the surface of things to get to what's really going on. And Paul says we all have these different gifts, but each one of us has a gift to share. And just like Dorothy and her friends, we have a mission. Our mission is God-given. We make disciples of Jesus Christ who change the world for the better. That's what we are all about as a church family. Everything that we do, for every activity, every worship service, every sermon series, every meal, every study, has the goal of making and growing disciples who in turn transform the world. Paul reminds us that churches can fail when they lose sight of that critical mission. We fail when we are in it for ourselves. We fail when we say, this church would be better without me. We fail when we say, this church would be so much better without so-and-so or those people. No, when one of us hurts, all of us hurt. When one of us has something to celebrate, all of us celebrate. And God can do amazing things when we come together. So in our reading from Romans chapter 12, Paul says, I encourage you then, brothers and sisters, through God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. And don't be conformed by this age, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind, so that you may prove what God's will is, what is good and well-pleasing, and what is perfect. Have you ever thought about living your life as a sacrifice or an offering to God? You know, one day, each and every one of us will stand before God. And what will we say? Will we say, well, here you go, God. I'm sorry about the mess I made, and I was afraid to go against the crowd. I just wanted to fit in. I wanted to have the things everybody else had, and those things were way more important than you were. Or will you say, God, here is what I did with the life that you trusted with me. You know as well as I do that I went astray sometimes, and I didn't do everything I could, but look at what we did together. By God's grace. At the end of your days, will you be able to commend your life to God as an offering? That's exactly what we do in a funeral. Now, if you can't answer that question with a yes, then we still have some work to do. So Paul says that the church is where we learn to live our life as an offering, as a sacrifice to God. The church is the place where God transforms the faithful, and then the faithful go out and transform the world. You don't have to tell me that that's not always the case, right? I mean, I hear it all the time. The church is full of hypocrites. And I say, thank God for that. I didn't always say that, but I do now. Because a church without sinners is an empty church. Amen? And a church without transforming sinners is a dead church. Now, Paul recognized that all of us have limitations. He says, I'm telling all of you not to think too highly of yourselves. The opposite of hypocrisy is not perfection. It's humility. It's knowing that we are not perfect and not pretending that we are. And we should not beat up others for being imperfect either. So Paul says, it is because we are imperfect that we need each other. He returns to that same metaphor he uses in 1 Corinthians that we talked about a minute ago, Christ's body. He says, an eye can't walk on its own, a foot can't see where it's going on its own. It takes both an eye and a foot or two to walk with purpose and a sense of direction. In the same way, we need each other in the church. Like a bundle of sticks, we are stronger together than we are on our own. When we work together using our God-given gifts to achieve a common vision, God changes the world through us. I mean, that's a humbling thought, isn't it? God is using you and me and all of us together to transform the world by God's grace. I love an old story that brings that home. The story goes that after the resurrection, Jesus was giving his report on everything that happened while he was on earth, and Moses was standing there listening intently at every word that he said. And when Jesus finished reporting, Moses said to him, "Well, Jesus, did you leave things in capable hands?" And Jesus said, "Yeah, I did. I left Mary and Martha and Peter and the other disciples." Moses said, "What happens if they fail?" Jesus said, "Well, I left the church and I filled it with the Holy Spirit. They will keep it going." Moses said, "But what if they fail? What's your backup plan?" And Jesus said to Moses, "I don't have a backup plan." Friends, that is why we support our church family through our service. There is no backup plan. What is God's plan for changing the world? We are. What is God's plan for changing Little Rock? We are. What is God's plan for changing our schools? We are. What is God's plan for changing the poverty in our community at large? We are. What is God's plan for ending violence? We are. What is God's plan for changing broken homes and broken families? We are. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for calling us to be your church, your family, a community of transforming lives and hearts that in turn transform the world. And we pray that you will help us to discern our own gifts if we don't know them already. And that you will find a place and bring us to a place where we use those gifts to glorify you and to grow your kingdom right here at Asbury and in our community at large. God, we pray, giving you thanks for the grace of Jesus Christ who shows us that you love us even when we let you down. Help us to be faithful so that we might commend our lives to you when we stand before you in your full glory. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, Amen. Let us stand now and affirm our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us unite our voices in this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Like to unite with our church family by transferring your membership from another United Methodist Church or another denomination, you're welcome to come down as we sing our hymn of commitment today. If you have never received the sacrament of Christian baptism, Brother Nick and I would love to visit with you about that, and you're welcome to email me or talk to me after the service, and we'd be glad to do that. I do want to give you one little heads up, too. I did notice that there is a sign-up sheet for VBS volunteers right down the hallway. And so if you'd like to sign up, it's right as you would head down to the choir loft if you want to do that on your way out today. But let's stand and sing together number 399, Take My Life and Let It Be. For joining us today. Next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday. Our confirmands will be here to renew their vows. Brother Nick is going to finish our series. He's going to wrap us up with a sermon about how we support our church family through our witness. And we want to encourage you to come for that. Don't forget, the acolyte training is immediately following the service right here in the sanctuary. The youth have a cookout this afternoon at 3 p.m. over in my neighborhood at Reservoir Park. And we don't live in the park, but we live near the park. Anyway. But thank you so much for joining us today, and I appreciate you so much, and thank you for joining us online as well. Would you please receive this dismissal with blessing? Go forth with Christ, with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.